Well, amen. What a blessing that was, and what a blessing again it is. And you just come to church and just be an encouragement one to another, be ministered to through the song services, even though we have to go back and redo a couple of them because we lost our place. But it's still a blessing, amen. It's still a blessing to be able to sing those old hymns together. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of John chapter 21. John chapter 21. That's why we'll be using songbooks, amen. You don't have to worry about losing the place in the songbooks, but because of some of the changes were made here for right now, then we've got the words up on the screen so that you don't have to handle the songbooks and that type of thing. But we will eventually get back to using our old-fashioned songbooks. I like that. John chapter 21, Wednesday night we've been studying the life of the Apostle Peter, and the beginning it was Peter's salvation, and then how that Jesus called him to follow him, and in following him, Jesus would then disciple him as he's discipling his apostles. I don't know that they understand all that they will have to do and accomplish in the apostolic age. They would play a very key role in Christianity, in New Testament Christianity. And so Jesus himself is discipling his apostles. And before, they looked to him as the Messiah, but they had some doubt. When he was arrested, they actually fled away from him. And then after he was crucified, they were in fear. But now we find that he resurrected. And as he resurrected, he is back discipling them as the resurrected Savior. It's making greater impact. Now they have no doubt whether or not he's the Christ. They know that they saw him die, as we just learned in message there in song, what a blessing. But they saw him die, and then they saw him after he resurrected. And for some 40 days after his resurrection, he would finish the discipling of the apostles. And that was key. This is one of the last lessons, that Jesus is going to teach Peter. And it's recorded for us so that we might get in on the very same lesson, okay? And that's a blessing. If it's in the Bible, it's for us. And we want to learn everything that Christ had taught and how he discipled Peter. And so we're going to be getting that tonight. So John chapter 21, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading for tonight, verse 18 down to verse 22. John chapter 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, as Jesus now speaking to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And then he explains that in verse 19 when he says, this spake he, Jesus, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for the opportunities that you make available to us to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray tonight for all that are here and all that are watching via the live stream. I pray, God, that you would just help each one just to put everything else out of their hearts and their minds and focus on what you have for us tonight in this message. Pray that you'd empower and use the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, as we studied last week, Peter was asked to answer Jesus three times concerning loving him more. Now, they had just caught a huge catch of fish, and he asked him, lovest thou more than these? And as we pointed to those fish, that would have represented his past life. And he asked Peter, he said, reply, Peter. He wanted him, he asked him to reply three different times whether he loved him. And he says, lovest me more than your past life? That's something that all of us need to look into our own hearts and minds and make sure that we are focused on loving Christ more than our past life, and we don't want to return to our past. We want to continue to live the Christian life as God has laid it out in front of us. That's what he's asking Peter, do you love me more than what this could have been your past life? Do you love me more than your possessions? Do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than recreations? That's something that we need to sometimes ask ourselves, because too often we might put other things in front of our love for Christ. And we need to make sure that we are focused on our love for him, because loving God leads to a life of service. If you do it for any other reason, it will not last. There's a lot of reasons some people go into the ministries. But if they don't do it out of a love for God, they will not last in ministry. That's why we need to understand, we start serving God and we get back to having a nursery and we get back to having a choir and we get back to Sunday school and junior church. Why are you doing those things? I trust that you're missing doing those things. If you've been involved in bus ministry and you've been involved in outreach ministries and you've been involved in choir and you've been involved in all the different ministries of the church, you ought to be missing them, because it's your love of Christ that has got you committed to these services. If you're doing it for any other reason, you're thinking we ought to put having those things come back for a longer period of time. And you start getting used to not having a nursery. And you start getting used to not having Sunday school. And you're almost ready to start that as a norm. And can I tell you, in a soul-winning, New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, we will get back to those things. That's part of the church. That's part of the call that God has given to us. And we don't want to get too complacent. And if you have been serving because of your love for God, you're missing that. Because that's how you show your love for God. That's part of your life. Lovest thou me more than? You can put whatever you want there. Because loving God leads to a life of service. That's what we looked at and studied much on last Wednesday night's message. Well, John 21 in verse 18 down to verse 22, we find Peter asking Jesus a question here. And our question was, and is Peter being concerned for John's ministry when he says, what shall this man do? I don't think so. He was not concerned over John's ministry. It was something that Jesus would rebuke him over. It's something that revealed that Peter had not been fully discipled as he needed to be. He needed to learn this lesson still. So verse 21, Peter's question reveals a spiritual problem still remaining in Peter. He's still being discipled by a resurrected Savior. And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, what shall this man do? Jesus wanted Peter to affirm his love in verses 15 to 17. Now, all this has just happened. This is all together in one setting. Jesus wanted Peter to affirm his love because it was because of his love for Christ that he would give his life to serve. If any other reason, he would not complete the task that Jesus had for him to complete. After he wanted him to affirm his love, then we find that he was given his ministry. His ministry was feed my lambs, feed my sheep. This is what your call is, Peter. You love me, you know I love thee. Then this is what I want you to do in proving your love for me and basing your ministry on your love for me. Because if you're basing your ministry on your love for me, you will complete the task. You're not going to get offended so easily that you quit serving God. I love that. And if that was not enough, in verse 18 and 19, Jesus tells Peter that he would die in serving God to glorify God. In history, as we look back and we study the history of Israel, Josephus, not even a Christian man, a historian, he reports on Peter being crucified upside down right after he witnessed his wife being crucified for their belief in Christ. And Jesus, seeing that, he's telling Peter, Peter, you're going to suffer a death for your belief, for your service to me. And it will be so that you might not only glorify me in your life, but you will glorify me in your death. And I don't know about you, I'm thinking that's pretty serious. That's serious teachings that Jesus now is presenting to Peter. Peter should have been looking to Jesus instead of allowing himself to think about John. I trust you're understanding that, because right after he affirms his love, he reveals his ministry, what he's called him to do. He tells him about his own death and how he would glorify God in his death. Look at verse 20. Then, after he had just settled, after just all this has happened, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. If you read the book of John, God allows John to be inspired by the Spirit of God and refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. One of the perks of writing the book. Amen. And he saw John following, which also leaned on his breast, talking about John who had leaned on Jesus' breath and gotten information from the Lord. And then verse 21, Peter seeing him. Peter, you ought to be seeing Jesus. This was a very powerful time in your life. It was a very powerful time in the discipleship program. You've just learned how it's important for you basing your service upon love. You've just been called and been revealed what you're to do. And you've been told how you're going to die. Focus on looking to Jesus instead of turning about and thinking about John. With that said, revealing Peter's spiritual problem, what about our questions? Do our questions have more to do with others instead of our service to Christ? Are we more concerned about what everybody else is doing than we are about what God has for me to do? See, I believe that a better question for Peter would have been, Lord, what more can I do to prove my love? Sometimes we're focused on the wrong things when we ought to be focused, and it's always right to focus on Jesus, looking to Him to make sure that our questions that we want answers to have more to do with Christ instead of once you have been addressed and once you know that there's something that you need to ask Jesus for or understand more, looking around and saying, well, what about John? No, we need to look at ourselves and understand what's going on when we are being discipled by Jesus and understanding our love for Him and our service for Him and eventually even our sacrifice of death to Him and ask Him, Lord, You're asking me to think about my love. What can I do to prove my love for You? And as you're asking that question, you look at your life and saying, does my life, if somebody else would look at my life, would they see that I have a love for Christ? By viewing my life and how I live and what I prioritize, Wednesday night you're in church, even in a pandemic and all the different things going on, can I tell you that somebody else that really wanted to understand and not trying to make other news, they would say, if you have that kind of a love for God and a desire to be in services, to worship Him and to be fed of the Word of God, that is evidence of love. If we look inside and we say, I can't wait till we get back to where I can serve in the nursery, if you're one of the nursery workers, can I tell you, that helps you to see that you do have a love. And your service is based on your love for Christ. Because you love Him, you want to serve Him, whether it's in the nursery, whether it's in the choir, whether it's teaching in a Sunday school class, whether it's in a junior church. I had Rusty has been bugging on me for the last 4 weeks. Let me do something with the youth. Let me do something with the youth. They're calling me. We're doing everything else. They're wanting to do. Can I tell you, by His persistence, it helps me to see, not only does He love the youth, He loves God. And He wants to be an influence for Christ on the youth of this church. Yeah, that's just evidence. Evidence a lot of times is found in our own concerns, our questions. If you're thinking about, well, what's John doing? When you ought to be thinking about, how can I prove more of my love for Christ? Better question. How would you have me to feed your sheep? Better question. Where would you have me to start feeding your sheep? Better question. Yeah. Is there a time frame? How much time do I have to feed your sheep before I die for my testimony's sake, for Christ's testimony's sake? Better question. Yeah. I got thinking about that and death statements by Peter when Jesus helping Peter to see, Peter, not only will you serve me and by feeding my sheep, but you will die for me. You'll suffer death for me. If it would have sunk in like it should have, he would have been thinking about death statements. I have been at the bedside of many of our church members that have gone on to be with the Lord and heard a lot of death statements. One that just sticks out in my mind, and Melrose Ellis, what a godly man he was, and helped me a lot in the ministry. Didn't know if he's going to make it. Looked to his wife, Reba, and he said, honey, if I don't come out of here, we've had a great life. God has been so good to us. Wow. Thinking about dying in Christ? You're not thinking about what John's doing. You're thinking about how good God is. How worthy he is to die for. I had so many say things like, I'm so glad. One in particular I'm thinking of tonight, that she was getting ready to get a divorce. But on her deathbed, she said, I'm so glad I followed God's leading, stayed married. Had others say, I'm so glad I followed God's leading and stayed in church. These are those that were on their deathbed. And they're thanking God, yeah, with their thoughts. Not thinking about what John's doing. Yeah. But Peter, after Jesus had just said all these things and discipling him, what shall this man do? See, his questions revealed a spiritual problem that still existed in Peter. Our questions, our concerns can reveal a spiritual problem that we still have, that we need to refocus. So the second thing we find here after that, Jesus rebukes Peter. And I love that because Peter needed to be rebuked for his thinking. In verse 22, look there. Jesus saith unto him, if I will. Peter, you're not focused on who I am again. I'm the resurrected Savior now. You should have come farther than where you're at, but you still have this problem inside of you, and you better get it taken care of now. Basically, that's what's going on. And he says to him, Jesus, if I will that he tarry till I come. Now, what's he talking about? If he tarry till I come. If he never has to face death until I come back for you. It should not be your concern. Whatever it is that I have for him to do, whatever death that he might have to suffer, whatever it is that might come into his life, that is not what you need to be focusing on, especially right now. What is that to thee? He's telling him, Peter, that should not be your focus. There's so many more important things for you to be thinking about. Even if John would not die, it would not change my will for your life, Peter. No matter what anybody else does, it will not change God's will for your life. So why be so concerned about other things and other people and how they're going to serve God when it's not going to change God's will for your life? What is God's will for your life? It needs to be what you are thinking about. Yeah. That's good stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul realized that. In 1 Timothy in chapter 1, what Paul did, I believe what Peter would eventually do and what all of us need to do, found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, my old life. I don't love my old life more than Christ. I love Jesus more than my old life. This was my old life, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious person, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I thank Jesus. When you have a ministry, when you have a purpose for life, and when you have the call of God, and every born-again believer has a call of God, you have a ministry, you have something that he wants you to accomplish for him with your life. Loving him will allow you to accomplish that and fulfill that. And once you realize this is God's call upon my life, this is my Christianity, this is my blessing, this is my way of showing my love for Christ. Once you understand that, I thank Christ, who hath enabled me, but he counted me faithful, putting me in that position that I have to have opportunities to serve. That's what Peter needed to be aware of. Can I tell you that we need to be thankful for any opportunity to serve? When you understand who it is you're serving, Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Yeah. The creator of all things. And he's given you opportunity to serve him. Yeah. And you're thinking about John? Really? I think you ought to be thinking about who Jesus is. Yeah. And be thanking him for opportunities to serve, because God knows where, when, and how we can best serve him. I have a plan for John, but it's not any of your business, Peter. What you need to be more concerned about is my plan for your life. I've just spent all this time helping you to see these truths, and you're asking me about John. Yeah, I think he was being rebuked. Yeah. Peter would later on write 1 Peter. I want you to look with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Because here we find that Peter did get it. He did finally understand that what he was doing was not the kind of thinking that he should have had, being more concerned about others instead of him, his own service to God. And he presents a sin that was associated with this as a busybody. And 1 Peter chapter 4, look right here with me. Let me read to you verse 15. The Bible says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer." And everyone's saying, "Amen, I never want to have that kind of a sin. I never want to fall into that trap." And then he says, "Or as a busybody in other men's matters." I guarantee you, when Peter was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and he was writing that down, he was thinking about the lesson, one of the last lessons that Jesus had to teach him to get his thinking where it needed to be. At some point he realized and he said, "I can't believe I was thinking about John when I should have been focused on Jesus." Amen. Yeah. He went on to say in verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian," yeah, that's what it's all about. Not suffering but the Christian part of it. Focused on being a Christian and being willing to suffer for Christ if need be. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Isn't that what Jesus told him he would do in his death? And let him glorify God on this behalf. Yeah. He learned the lesson. Praise the Lord, because it's there for us to learn as well. It really is. Brings us to our last thought here. Verse, go back with me to our text. Because it's, what is that to thee? Stop it, Peter. Stop thinking about any of the other apostles and what they're doing. Stay focused on what's most important for you to be focused on, and that is what I have for you to do. And after he said that, you can see him looking him straight in the eyes of God, piercing the eyes of Peter, and saying to him a second time, follow thou me. Sometimes as parents, you want to instruct your kids, but they're looking everywhere but where they need to be looking to. And you have to grab their jaws, pinch it just enough for them to feel the pressure. Look at me. Look at me. I want you to look into my eyes because I want to look into your eyes because I can see right through you. Yeah. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. After all of this, he finally looked him straight in the eyes and he said, Peter, in verse 19, he said, follow me. And then after Peter's question and after he dealt with that, he looked to him in the eye. I believe he might have even grabbed him by the face and he said, Peter, follow thou me. He is addressing Peter's focus. Can I tell you, before we can lead, we must learn to follow. If you're going to be a Christian husband, you have to follow Christ's example. If you're going to be a Christian dad, you have to follow Christ before you can lead the way that God wants you to lead. If you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, if you're going to do anything, if you're going to serve the Lord, you need to learn to follow first. Follow thou me. Peter had already been taught that several times actually by the Lord, but especially when he walked on water. He walked on water as long as he was looking at Jesus. He started looking at John, started looking at the waves, started looking at the wind, start focusing on the troubles, and you get your eyes off of Jesus, you'll start sinking. Yeah. To serve Jesus well, we must not get distracted by others. I'm closing here. To serve Jesus well, we must not be distracted by others. Whether it be others' failures or whether it be others' success. If you look at others' success, sometimes as women, you might look at my wife and say, I can never be like that. And if you're comparing yourself with someone else that you might think has been a success in a leadership position, if you're comparing yourself with her, it might be just enough to discourage you to give up on trying. The truth of the matter is, I love this saying, be your best you. But I think they fall short. Be your best you means that there's only one of you. But I believe you ought to be quoting that by saying, be your best you in Christ. Because you have to learn to follow before you can lead. If you're looking to be your best you in Christ, then you're looking to Christ, and then you will follow Him. And as you're following Him, you can be your best you. Because you have an excellent example to follow. Yeah. Don't look to John. Don't look to others that have success. I think you have to come up to where they're at? No. No. Be your best you in Christ. That's looking to others' success. Sometimes we look at others' failures. And because of others' failures, sometimes we'll say, well, if they couldn't do it, how could I ever do it? Sometimes it'll overwhelm you with sorrow. And because somebody else's failure, you're more apt to fail if you stay focused on them. John 21, verse 22. Follow thou me. What a great, one of the great final lessons in Peter's discipling was follow thou me. Look to Jesus, ask the right questions to get the answers you need. When you're looking to Jesus, ask the right questions that have to do with you and your walk with Him, and you'll have the right answers. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. What a great lesson in the life of the Apostle Peter as he was being discipled by the resurrected Savior. And what a great lesson for all of us to learn. Yeah. After you heard a message from the Bible, there's always an opportunity to make a decision based on what God has spoken to you about. God spoke to you either in this auditorium or via the live stream from this message that you just heard. Can I encourage you to make a decision based upon it? Whatever it is, ask God what He would have you to do with the message. Whatever it is that God would convict your heart about or reveal to you that you need to do with the message, can I get you to just do it? Whether it's getting saved, maybe God through this whole message has talked to you about your need to be saved. Don't let this pass you by. Call upon the name of the Lord. Maybe you need to be committed. Just commit your life to Christ as a believer. Look to a ministry that He has for you. Look to understand His call upon your life. Whatever it might have been, maybe it is just to stop looking around and look to Him. Be more concerned about your walk with Christ. Make a decision based on it. Father, we bow before You now. We love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word and this example of the Apostle Peter. And I pray, God, that as we have shared this tonight and presented Your truths, that now You would help each one of us to just look within and determine how we can apply it to our lives. I pray, God, that You would just direct each and every one to Your will for their lives. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.